Amen. So I want to wrap the series up, but there's so much in this power over fear. So I just want to just make the statement one more time. Power over fear is not me saying you have power over fear, which is the case. What I'm saying is power is over fear. And I want to always kind of make sure I go back and reiterate that. Power is over fear. It's mightier than fear. It's stronger than fear. It has the final word over fear. It does. And I want to make sure that we understand that, and we understand that in its fullness. So let me just lay down some basic understanding. When you operate in power, you don't operate in fear. It's an opposite. It's, you know, we say faith is the opposite of fear, but faith without works is dead. So that's not completely correct. When you walk in the power of God or the dunamis, it supersedes fear. It operates. Lord, how do I say this to your children? Okay. Trying to operate in emotional faith doesn't work. Those of you who have that experience understand when you are being confronted with something that challenges your stand or your position, and you start taking the, I don't receive that. I speak against it. I believe I'm healed. I believe, you know, I'm being blessed. And there's no dunamis with that. You understand that it's a struggle. It's a fight from second to stand in your position, because there is no power. The words are there. We've been taught that by confessing the words and standing on the word, power can come. Agreed. But until it does, it's that back and forth struggle. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which is the power of God, his word. He spoke, let there be light. Let us make man. So there's power in the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So with that established again, I want us to understand that what I'm trying to teach you in this season, if you listen to me real close, is how to rest or relax in the power of God, which then will give you, without any struggle or trying, the power over fear. It will put you in a position where you cannot fail. Cannot fail. One of the things that is becoming very clear to me in this season and time is this. More of God, less of me trying to figure out God. More of God, less of me trying to figure out God. What he's going to do, how he's going to do it, how the Lord moves. And please stop saying the Lord works in mysterious ways, because the Lord don't really want to work in mysterious ways with you. He wants to tell you his ways. Asking you should receive, seeking you should find, knocking the doors will be open. All those kind of good things he says. You have not because you ask not. God doesn't want to work mysteriously with you. He has no choice most of the time, because we don't choose to know his works or the way he's working. It's huge. So I'm starting off gentle, but you know it's going to go into something. So here's what I want to put down, and I want to make it very clear. When God gets you to the place that you're resting in him, he's laid out a plan for you to win. Say, God wants me to win. Say, God has designed me to win. Say, victory is mine by birth. Now, when I say that, it's powerful. People say, I don't know. Yeah, it is. It is. There's a condition. You have to receive Christ to come out of that failure into that victory. But still, by birth, Christ died for the world. Scripture says that. He died for the world. So if he died for every man, then that's an entitlement that you may not claim, but it's yours. Now, with that established, God didn't anticipate us to struggle. And let me explain that real clear for church folk in their religious possessions. Struggle is because of the fall of man. pain and heartbreak and everything else is because of the fall of man. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't God's intention for man in the beginning, but he knew what man would do. So he gave him the ticket out. He gave them the redemption. That's what I'm looking for. Before he even fell, before you were born, he knew you in Christ. You were in Christ before the foundation of the world. We understand that, those of us who've been in the Word a while. I'm going to come from an almost very teacher-esque kind of place today, but I just want to make sure that you're getting your foundation roots. So this is going to start off like a 101, if that's okay. Is that okay? God above everything else. Are you listening to me? Give me the little thumbs up, the thumbs up emoji, everything, if you're ready to hear something. More than anything else on this planet, in creation, the word, the law, the all of that, God loves you. That's primary. I need you to really get that, please, because we're not introduced to God that way. We're introduced to God through the judgment. But I need you to understand something. The scripture said, Jesus explains to them when he was trying to make the Pharisees in their religious position understand, God didn't make man for the Sabbath. He made Sabbath for the man. I'm about to say something right now, and that's one of those kind of things I'll say that'll make you go, hmm. God didn't make man for the law. He made the law for man. In other words, when he made Adam and Eve and he put them in the garden, he didn't give them 10 commandments. He didn't give them a bunch of thou shalls and thou shalt nots. He gave them one. Don't eat of this tree of the knowledge of evil, good and evil. Good they already knew, but he was trying to say to them, you don't want to become familiar with evil. Don't partake of that. The serpent will come to you and try to sell you evil and the knowledge therein. Don't take it. Now, stay with me. God never intended for you to be walking around under all these thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. That is because of the fall. That is the result of the fall. Now man has stepped into a realm of sinfulness, and now he had to be given guidelines to keep him where he was supposed to be with God. And then all the sacrifice and all the stuff came. Think about this. If that was the case, then as soon as man was born, he would have said, okay, here's some animals. I need you to sacrifice them and bring them to me in order for you to be purified before me. He did not. All of this took place after the fall of man. Do you understand this? So it was never God's intention or in his perfect will for you to be a slave to a bunch of laws and rules. They came as a condition of a fall. So you're saying God don't want us to follow the commandments? Well, yeah, they're there because of the fall, but they're guidelines. He didn't make the law first and then throw you in it, is my point. He made you first, and then when we got out of line, he gave us guidelines to keep us from getting so far out that we totally miss him. Did that speak to you? Does that make some sense? With that said, I'm going to go back to my first statement. God's first thought when he thinks of you and him is not the law. That's the point I want to make. God doesn't look at you from the view of the law first. He looks at you from the view of creation and love first. God created you to love. He created you for fellowship. He created you for friendship. He created you for love. That's his primary desire for you and him. If you can just get that, God created you to love. Say that. God created me to love. Say it like you mean it. Matter of fact, say to him, God, you created me to love. So once we start to move God into that, I start talking about knowing God and this yada and these things I keep putting up there, it's like you hear me and you go, amen. But then we immediately begin to judge ourselves again by everything we do or don't do, everything we get right or don't get right, everything, you know, and all of a sudden it goes back to us judging ourselves out of fear of repercussion of the law. But the scripture says, perfect love, who is God, cast out all fear. So that means he doesn't want you to serve him out of fear. He wants you to serve him out of perfect love. It's his kindness that leads you to repentance. Let me ask you a question that's going to, you know, get your head going for a minute here. How many of you can think of many times in your life that you were led to repent out of his goodness? And I guarantee you, they pale in comparison to the times you felt convicted and shamed. How many times did you feel led to repent and change your way before God out of his goodness? His kindness led you to repentance, not repercussion or judgment. And the sad truth of it is, most of us, including myself, have been changed by repercussion of judgment or the judgment itself, more so than you love me so much. I love you so much. And because I love you so much, I don't want to hurt you. I can't hurt you. I don't want to disappoint you. So my change is not out of the fear that you're going to judge me. My change is because I love you so much that I want to be right with you. I submit to you today that that is God's desire for us and his relationship with us. I want us, as we read the rest of John 14, to see the love. Jesus started, I shared this with you in 13, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, that's not the church today. The church is that you judge one another as we perceive in our mind, he judges us. He makes statements like, judge not that you be not judged. So he's trying to tell you, I don't want to have this judgment type relationship with you. I want to have a love relationship with you, that you walk with me out of love and I walk with you out of love. I told you guys about the dream and I was panicked and I was shaking. I was, oh my God, I don't want to wind up there. And why did you let me say? And God said to me, you're missing the point, son. You called on me and I yanked you out immediately. You missed the point. You got caught up in the experience and you forgot about the love. You called me and I yanked you out. Somebody say, God's in the yanking me out business. He's in the yanking me out business. I love you, my baby. I just want to snatch you out. I just want to make sure you're good. I want to make sure you're okay. I want you to know that I love you. I feel a little welled up in emotion because for me, this revelation for me at this season of my life is starting to become the umpire and the guiding light of everything I'm doing right now. God, you love me. You love me so much that you created a law to give me guidelines. But when I couldn't even keep those guidelines, then you gave me a savior to die for my sins so that I didn't have to be stuck in all of those things. See, you know, this is what it's all about. This is what the walk is about. It's about God so loved the world, not just the Christians, the world, that he gave us an out. He loves me. He loves you. And everything he does is motivated by love, not the opportunity to judge you or for you to come under some kind of scrutiny or judgment or be shamed into goodness. Does that bless somebody? I hope it does. Give me some thumbs up emojis or whatever you got for me. Give me something to let me know that it's speaking to you, or yeah, amen. And put it in the comment, whatever you want to do, roll with it. I'm seeing hearts and all that. I'll take all of that. I want you to know you're loved, because God's been telling me, son, I'm not judging you by your grades. I'm judging you by my heart. And I see your heart, and I love you according to that. This is so awesome. So as I read the rest of this, and even Jesus correcting the disciples, I want you to see this is not Jesus chewing them out. This is Jesus trying to lead them to the truth that makes them free. You will know the truth. So going back to John 14, Jesus is talking again. And, you know, this is after he had went to talk to the disciples, you know, have you been so long time with me is where I left off. Jesus replied, have you been so long time with me, Philip? You don't know me. You've seen me, has seen the Father. You don't recognize me. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And what he was saying in that statement, after God began talking to me, it made different sense to me this morning. He wasn't saying he who's seen me has seen the Father physically. What did Jesus do with them people the whole time he was with them? Loved on them, healed them, gave them sight, you know, to judge not. I didn't know, well, I don't judge you ever either. Go and sin, either. Go sin no more. Everything he did in his walk was about his love, feeding. He sold his life out to the people. When people say to me, well, you know, what would Jesus do? I'm like, don't ask me that dumb question, you know, because you're trying to make me now do the works that Jesus did to prove that I love like Jesus does, and I can do the works and still not love. So stop. What would Jesus do? I'm going to answer you guys today. He would love you. He would forgive you. He would die for you again if he had to. He would do exactly what he did when he was here last time. He would love you. He would love you. He would forgive you. He would take you to him. Even if he knows you're going to eventually betray him, he still would let you in his circle. I don't understand if people are really getting this. He would love you. He would love you. That's what he would do. So when he was saying to him, have you been with me so long that you don't know that who I am? If you've seen the love that I give, if you see the care that I give, if you see that I go around healing everybody because it pleased the Father, he was moved with compassion and healed the multitudes. If you see that he loves and he heals, he's saying, then you've seen the Father. This is what the Father looks like. This is what the Father, how the Father flows. Yes, he got tired of them at times. Yes, the Father does get tired of your mess sometimes and say, how long must I put up with this? Yes, but in the end, he came, even with that, to die for them. He went away to pray and came back. You guys couldn't stay awake for a few minutes, just not even a little while I went and prayed. Because he's saying, yes, the there's a part of your humanity that is irritating. We all know there's parts of people's humanity that you know that's irritating. But I came to die for you anyway. I know all about you. I know the secrets nobody knows. I know your shortcomings. I know the things you feel proud of that still ain't worth too much. But I still want to die for you. I love you. If you haven't figured out yet, this message is about some love today, just in case you haven't figured it out. God has been really showing me the height of his love in a different way in this past week. So that's what Jesus' response to him. I am the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? What am I telling you? What I am telling you, I don't say on my own authority, on my own account, but it's the Father who lives continually in me. He does the work. It's his miracles. It's his deeds of power. You see what he's saying? You seeing the Father by seeing what I'm doing. This is it. He's pretty much saying, let's get deeper than this. It's love. God loves you. The works and the miracles I'm doing, what do you need? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe me for the sakes of the very works themselves. Again, what do you see? If you cannot trust me, at least trust in these works that I do in my Father's name. Let that convince you. What does the Father do? Now, you got to understand this. They want to kill him because he was going against the law. They did kill him because of that, as far as they were concerned, their religious rules and things that they figured out they did that made them right with God. He came and said, no, God just loves you, period. That's it. And he won. What are you talking about? They're Gentiles. He loves them too. No, no, no. God is love. He loves all of them. No, it can't be because we're the chosen one. God loves. You guys have lost love. You turned it into the law. You, by your laws and your rules, have made the word of God of no effect. Your traditions have stripped the power of God out of the word. I am coming to the realization, and I'm going to say this, and I want you to hear me out. There's a lot of things that I've said during the course of my life in ministry that I would like to go back to a lot of people and say, I'm so sorry. I had some of this so wrong. I really thought I was just telling you what I learned, and I was going to tell you how to get your ish together. Like God had to check me and God had to tell me. And I hear preachers and God got in my face. And I'm like, what a horrible image of daddy to paint. Because that's the only God I knew, the God that got in your face. The God that said to you, you're subject to the law and you stuck with it. And whether you like it or not, this is what it is. And you can't get out and you're a prisoner to it for the rest of your life. And don't you think for a minute that there's an opportunity for me to change even the mistakes you made. It's sad. It's not true. It's not God. God loves you. He loves you according to his word, but his word is not subject to your fifth grade education. It's subject to his spirit. And that's the thing that I'm learning every day. God, you love me. You love me. And it's powerful at this season. I'm going to say this real quick before I move on. I'm not saying this because I'm living in some kind of way or some kind of thing that I feel, well, I really need the love of God right now because there's just so much temptation and sin in my life. I'm doing good. God is taking good care of me. He's keeping me. I'm feeling real good about my walk and I'm feeling real good about my life. But even in this, God just keeps showing me the greatest thing that the greatest gift I've given you is the gift of my love for you. And if you receive that, then you can receive healing. You can receive the prosperity and all the stuff you're trying to believe God for. Listen to me close. Ooh, let me put my Bible down for 1 second because I'm going to say this. This is one of them. I'm going to say this thing. I don't care how much faith you have trying to have, how much scripture you're trying to quote and got paste on your refrigerator, how many prayers that avail much things you read every day and quote every morning when you get up before you go to bed. It's hard to believe that you can receive anything from anybody that you don't believe loves you. If you think that you're a thorn in their side and you got to beg them and put up with them and do these, and I'm doing all these tricks and things and coming up with all these kind of little magic formulas and potions and trying to get God to give me a nickel. If that's your view of God, that's why you're not getting your prayers answered. God is like, I want you to have it more than you asking for it. In most cases, who you think even put the desire in you? Like, what is wrong with you? Like, stop trying to make me do something I've already done. Oh, save us, Lord Jesus. Just like, long time ago, I did that. Rose and everything. You don't know the story? Have you been with me so long and you still don't know me? I'm learning that God loves me, just like me. And because I'm living a good life or not, doesn't matter. He loves me. it's nice that I can say to you, I'm living a good life because he loves me, not to get him to love me. I hope some of y'all caught that. That was for somebody. So it's funny, I'm thanking God's a side journey. Like I used to get so uptight in the beginning because I'd do the message. I couldn't hear y'all and I couldn't hear the reaction, but I can hear y'all in the spirit. I know when stuff hits. I'm like, yeah, that was it. That was it right there. You got that. All right. So let's move on. So he goes on to say in verse 12, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone believes in me, he himself will be able to do the things that I do. Listen, I assure you and most solemnly tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he himself will be able to do the things that I do and even greater things than these because I go to the Father. That right there does not work if you don't know God loves you. Does not work if you don't love the people. It doesn't work if you don't love one another as I have loved you. Now, I see pastors get up there and I've done it in my time and try to lay hands and do the works Jesus do. And Jesus is like, yeah, did you forget the scripture? Moved with compassion, he healed the multitude. Didn't say moved with power. He had power. It didn't say moved with authority. He had authority. It said moved with compassion, he healed the multitudes. Well, compassion comes out of loving somebody. Really, really being concerned about them, having a true desire to see them okay. You can heal more people if you truly want to see them okay in the leading of God, not in a, well, I just want to show you all God. I trust, I believe in God. We're going to pray. When we get together, we're going to pray and we're going to pray this thing down. I've been seeing a lot of little things on the news. This one died with COVID. This one died. And this one in, you know, and a lot of them in my age range, you know, and some younger. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, wow, God, this is some mess right here. I know there's a lot of people that are not dying, but you know, people dying. And God said to me, people dying every day from a million things. I mean, people dying all the time. So yeah. He said, don't let that be the emphasis. The emphasis is, I've given you the word of life. I've given you the power of life. And you can't run around talking about, I'm going to heal people from COVID because I want to prove to people that Jesus is Lord. If you're not willing to first prove to them that Jesus is love. You want to show off your God power. That's not how it works. Do you care about these people? He said, I'm trying to get to you to do the works that I do, but we can't just keep pulling scriptures out of context. And that's why I took you back to. He went to, you must love one another like I love you. You must know me. Do you know me? Do you know the Father? All these things I've been talking about. This comes from a relationship with God that it gets outside of religion and law, and it gets lined up with his love, and then the power flows through you. It's not hard to do it if it's coming out of his love. It's hard to do it if you think you're trying to earn his love to get him to move. Then it becomes very, very hard. Are you understanding me? Let me see some thumbs up or something if you're with me and you understand where I'm going. Okay. So ultimately, they're asking, what's the way and how do we get there? And they're asking Jesus all these dumb questions. And Jesus is like, at the end of the day, here's what's most important. You don't need to go where I'm going. You don't need to follow me. And, you know, he said, if you've been with me where I'm going now, you know the way. He said, what is the way? He said, here's the way. Go back to what I told you. You love one another. Stop worrying about the earthly things that you're so focused on. Focus on my love. Remember when I started this message, I said, if you know what God has told you and you're at peace with that and you're comfortable with that, then when you get to the let not your heart be troubled, it makes sense because you're not troubled because you know you're loved. You're not troubled because you know you're cared for. You're not troubled because you know that God does not desire in any way to leave you nor forsake you or to leave you comfortless. No, not ever. You understand that. And once you know that, then when situations come, your heart is not troubled because you know you're protected. These are the truths, and the truth will make you free. Then he goes on and says this, and this really like got hit me. And I will do myself, will grant you whatever you ask for in my name, as presenting all I am, so that the Father may be glorified and enthroned in the Son. Now it starts to make sense. Or see, I can, anything I ask in his name, he would do it. And usually when I hear people say these scriptures, they're saying it about getting some stuff. They're saying it about getting something else. And when I say stuff, and not always money and stuff, but I want to see this person healed. I want to see my family healed. I want to see the, and it's like, no, these gifts are for you to operate out of the love of God. But you can't operate out of the love of God if you're not first knowing that you are loved by God. And this is what, oh my Jesus, help me say this the way you showed it to me. I've had people cook for me. I've had people do things for me. I've had people put up with me. But there's a difference when somebody does anything for you out of love. Even the food tastes better when a person does it out of love. You can tell. It was interesting. Like, we were coming in from the airport one night, and I was with Edwidge and them. And we stopped by Edwidge's house. And Edwidge's mother was coming in with her sister from some event they were just doing. So I'm going to give your mom a shout out, Edwidge, in the message. And she was all dressed up. She was nice. You know what I'm saying? She coming in, she dressed up, made up all this stuff. And she came in and never said, you want to stop for a minute? I said, sure, I'll stop in and say hi. And immediately her mom went straight to the kitchen and stopped pulling stuff out the refrigerator and started cooking. I'm like, okay, first of all, we just popped up out of nowhere. We just came from the airport. She's all dressed up. And you know, at least you want to go in the room, take her makeup off and get comfortable. No, dressed to the T. She went right in the kitchen and stopped pulling out food. What do you like? What do you like? I'm like, well, you know, I'm vegan. I don't really eat meat and stuff. So I'm gonna find some stuff. And she literally went there and she started pulling stuff out and stopped them pots clanging. And I'm standing there going like, wow, you could see her heart to do that was all in it. And she ain't cooked no big elaborate thing for me because all I could eat was vegetables and rice and stuff. So she had whatever she had. But oh my God, it was delicious because to me, her heart was in what she was doing. You can see that she was committed to that out of love. It was no duty. She didn't owe me anything. I didn't even ask for it. She just did it. And this is what God began to show me. Look at the things you do for people that you don't even expect to get paid for. You don't even want to get paid for. You just do it because the love of Christ compels you. And you just do it because you feel out the best of your heart. This would make that person's life better, will make that person happy. Am I going to be rewarded for it? Probably not. Some cases, never. But in God's kingdom, I'm rewarded for it because I'm doing it out of love of God. I had to learn to stop doing stuff because God gonna see me doing this good thing and he gonna bless me. I'm not doing it for no, I don't want nothing from y'all. I just know the Lord gonna make it. But you're still doing it for something then. You understand what I'm saying? There's still a motivation that's about self. Yeah, no, but I know God gonna see it and God gonna bless it. But when you get to a certain place, when you walk in the love of God, you just do it because that's the nature of God flowing through you, in you and out of you. And when you get to that place, the work that he do, you can do also in greater work. When you get to that place, Jesus could say to you, I myself will do it. Why? Because I myself is not doing it for you. You're in oneness with the love of God and you're flowing out the power of God and you're doing the things that God would do. So basically you become extension of him. So the reason Jesus said, oh, and I myself will do it. Why? Because through you, I am flowing. Catch that. When we get to that place, when we walk in that kind of spirit, then I am just an extension of God. So, of course, he's doing it because I'm doing what he's doing. Yeah, you didn't catch that yet. Let me catch it yet. I'm going to bring it back. I'm bringing it back around one more time. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. This is when you're in that kind of place where when you're moving, you're only doing what you see the Father doing. You're only saying what you hear the Father saying. And so the flow of God is I'm walking with him. I'm walking in love with him. He's walking in love with me. I'm thinking his thoughts. I'm feeling his passion. I'm moved by his spirit. And so what I'm doing, I'm already doing. And Jesus is like, say, I myself will do it. Now he's going to pop up. Ta-da, I'm here to do it. But he's going to do it through you. Why? Because you're the body of Christ. So you're an extension of him. This only happens when you know your love like that. I've been hearing I'm the body of Christ all my life. And it just was a cliche to me. I didn't know really in my heart of hearts how that really mattered. But then I start hearing I'm one with Christ. And I'm like, but how does that matter? So I tried to be the body of Christ and I tried to be one with Christ, but I couldn't pull up. And one with Christ is not saying one with Jesus. It's one with the anointing, one with the salvation, the Savior. The Christ is the Messiah. I'm one with that anointing, that same anointing that he's in. Just don't mix up one with Jesus and one with Christ. One with Christ means I flow out the same anointing as he flows out of the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. I need to get that. I keep telling people Christ is not his last name. His name is not Jesus Christ. His mom's name is not Mary Christ. And his father wasn't Joseph Christ. That's not a family name. That's his position. He's Jesus the Christ, right? He's the Messiah. And when I flow out of the Christ, Christ in you, Jesus is in me. No, he's at the right hand of the Father. Christ is in you. The anointing is in you. The resurrecting power of God is in you. It's the Christ in you, the hope of glory, not Jesus in you. But, you know, people, you know, because they think it's his name. Anyway, so watch. Let's keep going. So he said, and I will myself grant you whatever you ask as presenting all that I am. Right. That means I'm flowing in him. So he's presenting all that he is. It's got to be all that he is, not all that you are. Come on now. So that the Father will be glorified in the Son. Now, let's take this a minute. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Stay with me here. Come on. Come on. Get with me for 2 seconds. That the Father may be glorified in the Son, meaning who? In Jesus, in you, the body of Christ, that the Father may be glorified through the Son that's flowing through you, that the Father may be glorified in the Son with the body of Christ, that the Father may be glorified in the extensions of the Son, the tentacles, if you will, of the Son, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, presenting what I am, that the Father may be glorified in you. You just remember you said, in the works that I do, you shall do also, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. Because if I raise children and my children all go and they do great things, the people say to me, well, you sure raise them kids right. That the Father may be glorified in you. Okay. And then he keeps on going. This is some heavy stuff. This is all after let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yes, I will grant you myself, will do for you whatever you ask in my name, presenting all that I am. Now, I want to bring this home today. I'm going to read these three verses again. Three verses again, and then I'm going to wrap them up and bring it home. So let's go back again to 12. I assure you, most solemnly tell you, that if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he himself will be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these because I go before the Father. Wow. And I will do myself, will grant whatever you ask in my name as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and enthroned in the Son. Whew. Wow. Yes. I myself will do for you whatever you ask in my name, presenting all that I am. If you never read another verse in the Bible, that right there, I had never grew up in church knowing that Jesus telling me anything I would do and anything I ask him to do, and he'll just do it. And, you know, it doesn't say if you selfishly ask, but he says you ask, but he's looking for a condition from you. And here's what it is. Ready? If you really love me. Next verse. Here we go. Bring it on home, Jesus. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. So he's going right back to, it's about this love thing. Love me, know that I love you. I came to love you. Dying for you is loving you. I came to love you. Dying for you is loving for you. You understand what I'm saying? I came to love you, not to judge you. I came to love you. Dying for you is loving you. He didn't come to die for you then to spend the rest of your life judging you. He came to die for you as a display physically of the love that the Father has had from you from the beginning of earth. And if you love me, here's what will happen. You will keep my commandment. What commandment? The Ten Commandments? No, that first one. Love one another as I've loved you. And I ask the Father, he will give you another comforter, a counselor, and strengthener, advocate, standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive. So let's wrap this up right here for the day, because now that's going into a whole new thought, and I don't want to take this thought away. So he came right back to it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things through Christ. Again, didn't say through Jesus, said through Christ. Jesus paid the price for you, and the anointing is in the Christ, and that's what he left you. He left you that anointing. But it operates out of love. It operates out of love. And that kind of love comes from God, not from good behavior, not from trying to do it. You're not going to be able to do it in your strength. How many of you already bear witness that it doesn't work? You know, it doesn't work in your own strength. It may work for a day or two, but sooner or later, yeah, it don't work. But love is not me being nice to you. Love is me having God's heart towards you. Or for you, or for the situation. And if that heart of God says correct you, fine. Sometimes that heart of God toward you will say separate yourself. Then that's fine too. Whatever that is, don't help them. Sometimes that's it. Yeah, I would say, no, I wouldn't really want to help them. Nope. I want to help them. Nope. Love them by getting out the way. Love them by letting me deal with them. I don't need you jumping in. So here's the key. You with me? Love God, all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a decision of the heart. And then you give that heart to God, not in your own strength, but it is him that works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. God gives you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And the main thing that I've come to realize pertains to life and godliness is walking in and knowing the love of God. God loves me. So I started the message last week by saying, God dealt with me about you don't love yourself. Remember? I said, how started the message? I said, God dealt with me. He said, you know, you're trying to walk in love, but where's the love for yourself? So we're coming right back to it. I sat with God all the week saying, well, God, how do I find this love for myself? And it came right back to this. Know that I love you. Know that I love you. Know that I love you more than anything in the world. I love you better than your grade, your report card, whether you do good, you had a good Christian week or not. My love for you is the same. I adore you. I admire you. I lift you up. I care about you. I hold you in my arms if you would let me. But you can't walk in my power because you don't know I love you. You don't believe I love you. And because you don't believe I love you, I can't do for you the things I want to do. So babies, understand this. I got to love myself before I can love somebody else. To love my neighbor as myself, I got to love myself. Well, I can't love myself the way I need to if I don't really know that God loves me. And for me to start to understand, oh, Jesus loves me, this I know for the Bible. No. It goes deeper even than that. He loved you before the foundation of the world. He loves you with a love that cannot be not denied. And his love, he so loves you that he sent his own son to die for you. And that is love. And that love didn't stop after he died for you. That love continues. God loves me. So this part of the message, the subtitle will be God loves you. And I want you to understand that he does, or you call it God loves me, either or. It's awesome when you start to really look at how much God loves you, and you start to realize that most of the stuff that God has not been able to do for you is because you don't believe that he loves you. You think that you got to behave and you got to do good for God to do things for you. And God is like, no, I do it because I love you. And if you start receiving my gifts out of love, you will see them a lot more expediently. And then let the good works that you do flow out of the fact that you know you are loved. Amen. God bless you. And I hope you receive something powerful today. Amen.